The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. We all need to be having conversations about race with our children as early and often as possible. Some of us more than others, white people. The problem with that is there aren't many resources to introduce racial conversations that are out there, but my guests today are changing that. Dr. Sheila Madeer and Jeffrey Cash, you are the authors of The Proudest Color, a children's book that deals with race and emotions. It's a super dope book that my wife and I have read to our daughter several times, and in addition to writing the book, Sheila also has an Instagram page in which she shares children's books about a range of topics. The goal is always to arm your child with as much info as possible as they're growing up. And The Proudest Color is a great conversation starter about race. So let's get into it. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Gini. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 48 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guests today, authors of The Proudest Color, Sheila Madeer and Jeffrey Cashew. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited.
Very excited. Thank you.
First of all, my wife and I love the book. I am white. My wife is biracial. Our daughter is white passing. So this is definitely something that is needed. And I know one of the reasons you guys wrote the book is because there aren't kids' books discussing these issues on how to talk to your kids about race, correct?
Yes, exactly. Yes, there aren't a lot of books like this.
Not at all. And there's so much about it. Not only just loving the fact that you name feelings as colors. I know both of you guys are, your backgrounds are in mental health and therapy. And so talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about a child's feeling being related to a color. Where did that come from exactly?
Yeah, so it was really important for us to include emotion identification in the book as well. So the book is about like racial and cultural pride and resilience and coping skills. But initially, it starts out with how to name emotions, and she associates it with not only just colors, but different parts of her body, right? So when you feel anger, you feel it in your cheeks. When you feel sadness, you feel it in your eyes. And so it's so important for a child to be able to have the language with emotions, because then when they're feeling something, they can be able to articulate it, as opposed to what children typically tend to do is have a tantrum or an outburst because they don't have the words to tell you how they feel. And then once they can tell you how they feel, we can help them with coping skills and how to regulate that emotion. So it was really important for us to make sure that emotion literacy was included in the book.
And then you guys went on to racial identity in the book as well. And like I said, there's not enough children's books out here. I remember I had Melissa Pintor Carnegie from Sex Positive Families on. And I remember I asked her the question, like, at what age do you start talking to your kids about sex issues with her? But for you guys, it's at what age you start, talking to your kids about race. I think it's as early as possible. But the tools aren't really there for many parents. Right. And this is great to have a tool for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you say, you know, we can't start early enough. And that is true. And even though some kids are, for example, our book is geared towards kids age 5 to 8, which is really like a great time to actually communicate about it with them and have those conversations. With younger children, you know, and this is the science that we based our book on, is this idea of racial socialization. What are the ways implicitly and explicitly that parents or families socialize a child to the concept of race and where they fit into the world? So it's on its face, it's neutral. It's really about where does it net out? Are they communicating, you know, positive messages? Are they preparing them for bias in a positive way, or in a way that just kind of goes, hey, the world is unfair, without giving sort of the rest of the story of here's how you might feel about it and here's how we deal with it, for example. So about 5 to 8 is where we really targeted, but there are ways earlier than that you can help kids understand, their race and how they fit into the world as well.
Yeah. And they start noticing it at really early ages. I mean, I think my daughter was 3 when she first was like, you know, I'm white and, you know, mama is brown. And it's luckily my wife is very intelligent and very up on these things. And for me, it's like, I have to go around and think like, okay, if she throws this at me, you know, and prepare myself for it. My wife is much better about being in the moment and saying, all right, well, this is the way of the world and this is what's going on here and everything, every shade is beautiful. And she's prepared for that. One of the things about just being growing up a white man is that you are blind to these things because the world conforms to you rather than you having to conform to the world. And it's been eye opening just having a child and you know, kind of guiding through these waters. And another one of the reasons I love this book. Do you guys find that we live in the downtown area of Nashville, Tennessee, and so it's a little more diverse than, say, it would be if you went, you know, an hour and a half in any direction, to be honest with you. Do you guys find that kids raised in more diverse environments tend to be more open to these issues, or is it?
Yeah. No, honestly, it's about exposure, right? It's about what you're around. And there's actually a research study that looked at like when diversity and diverse people were talked about in a classroom, those children in that specific classroom were able to detect discrimination and then go up to their teacher and have the teacher intervene. But versus the other classroom that wasn't necessarily taught that, they had no idea what was going on and maybe weren't paying as much attention to it. So I do think that who is around you and who you are surrounding yourself with and the media that you're exposing yourself to, your child is definitely, you know, living in that home with you. And by the age of 5, they actually have the same racial attitudes as their parents do.
Wow.
And at 6 months, they can detect racial differences at 6 months. So they're itty bitty and they can, with looking at their eyesight and what they're looking at, scientists were able to detect, you know, they really prefer looking at their own group of people that look like them. And it's because it's what they know and what is similar to them. But that also sent the message of, if we expose the child to diverse groups, then they can become more comfortable and then be able to, you know, have more of those diverse interactions.
Yeah, I remember I read the White Fragility book. I don't know if you guys have read that. I read that book. And I remember the thing that stuck out most to me was that she said that white people growing up in white environments, we don't make it a point to raise our kids in diversity. We don't say, oh, all your friends are white, let's try to get you out there a little bit more and get you some more diverse friends. That's not a point or a point of issue for most white families. Whereas I feel like if you're growing up in any other culture, it's like, you kind of got to know how to, you know, talk to everybody, navigate everything, right?
Yeah.
We need more books like this, like you guys have, for sure.
And I think to that point too, you know, it's, I think a big piece of like the education system as well, you know, where, you know, we want to not also burden people of color to have to teach, you know, the white community about all these things, because we have so much literature and history and media around all of it. It's just, I don't think we get enough exposure to it in our school. So that was another aim of us with creating this book, was like another resource that's very accessible for all families and all communities to be able to pick up, like I think you had mentioned, and find some way of learning and expanding your knowledge and experience with the community.
How has the book been received? Because especially in this day and age of a lot of turmoil, a lot of people going back and forth over, you know, different types of education, you know, it seems like, to me, I read through it and I was like, this is great, this is awesome. But I've read through a lot of things and said, this is amazing. And then, you know, you hear Tucker Carlson go off on it, you know, and you're like, what just happened? So how has your book been received?
It's, you know, the book was released on the 14th. And so far, thankfully, it's been extremely well received. We're very grateful for that. You know, I'd be lying if I said we weren't very nervous. you know, we still are a little bit about what, you know, what could be lurking out there. But I guess, you know, that's kind of the vibrancy of our world, is that, you know, we allow for differences of opinion and things to challenge us to continue to learn and grow. One thing that we felt very comfortable with, though, was that we rooted the book in evidence-based practices and the research, so that, you know, we felt comfortable with the things that we were saying as much as we could. But, you know, research continues to change and grow and move along with the times as well as the world does. So who knows, there may be a time where we have to, you know, expand upon what we've created. But so far, knock on wood, the book's been very well received.
I mean, I feel like recently people are challenging science all the time.
Yeah, this is a thing.
Like, oh my goodness. Yeah. So we definitely are a little nervous, but so far the book's been sold out at some of the major retailers. So we are shocked by that. And we are just like so excited that people are excited about it. I mean, it's so vulnerable to write something like this and put it out in the world and just see how people reflect it. And then we're also not just writing a book for one community. We're talking about the entire brown community, yeah. Right? And as you can see in the book, it ranges, it varies. And even Zahra herself, we tried to make her encompass as many different cultures and groups. You have her being half Latina, half Black, with a Middle Eastern name. I mean, we tried to include as much as possible because the reality is that when you're experiencing discrimination, oftentimes they are just doing it based off of what you look like, not what group you're in. And race is such a social construct. So a little kid isn't looking at you and saying you're Middle Eastern or you're Indian or whatever you might be. They're just doing it because of what you look like. And we wanted that book to really, you know, be able to be a message for all kids that have experienced that.
And these are things that you guys experienced growing up?
Yeah, definitely. I was born and raised in a small town in Illinois. So, you know, in my class photo, you can see me like a mile away. You know, there weren't a lot of kids that looked like me. There weren't a lot of Middle Easterners in my town. And Jeff grew up here in California, but he also experienced some discrimination as well. I think both of us experienced it a lot after September 11th because there was just a lot more of an eye on the Middle Eastern American community. And there's just a sense of otherness towards this community. And the research has found it almost increased by like 120%, the level of discrimination towards that group. So yeah, I mean, it's based off of personal reflections and then also our research.
Yeah, I think you guys did an amazing job with this. Is there going to be another book of this nature coming from you guys?
We're hoping so.
That's the plan.
Yeah, we're writing, so we'll see.
Well,
you know, parents and teachers can certainly go to our website, theproudestcolor.com, to kind of stay on top of what we're doing. But also, we've included other resources in there, like we did in the book, on how parents can have these conversations with their kids and, you know, just continue to expand from there.
Is there an Instagram page or anything that you guys send people to that has a lot of these things? I would love to follow that. Like I follow Six Positive Families to basically when I had that episode with Melissa, it was basically like, this is gonna be less of an episode and more of a, you know, therapy session on how to talk to my daughter about sex. So let's go. Is there something like that with helpful hints and stuff like that you guys like to direct people to?
Sure. I have my Instagram. It's Dr. Sheila's Bookshelf. And what I really do is like to highlight books that have mental health themes. It's books that I actually have in my therapy office for the patients that I use. And I think that are also important for parents to have. So I would hate for you to have to wait until your kid goes to therapy to have access to a book on empathy or a book on social skills, right? So I have a list of different books and then I definitely highlight books on race and racism as well.
Jeff?
I'm not the cool kid here. We ride with Sheila. So we're married. And so I get to ride on her coattails when it comes to that. It's a great job curating that Instagram.
I completely understand. Thank you guys so much for being here. The book is The Proudest Color. Sheila Modir, Jeffrey Cashew, thank you guys for writing the book. And thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you so much.
This is fun.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other. Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my amazing guests, Dr. Sheila Modir and Jeffrey Cashew. Again, The Proudest Color is an amazing book for your kids. Make sure you check that out. And make sure you check out Dr. Sheila on Instagram at Dr. Sheila's Bookshelf. While you got their app open, follow me as well at DolaWhite101, DOLEWITE 101. Don't forget, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, rate and review this podcast, but only if you're going to say nice things and give me 5 stars. I definitely appreciate that. Brand new episode drops next Wednesday morning. Great guest next week. Derrica Purnell would join me. She literally wrote a book about abolishing the police. Super excited to have this conversation with her. So make sure you subscribe, follow, and check out the next episode of the Dolaway Podcast as well. Thank you for checking me out. I'm gone.